be having some dicey weather Tuesday and Wednesday. So you'll be notified if we cancel. Put me on TV yet. All right. All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship. Concern yourself with yourself and appreciating the information to be presented to you. I need to correct something from the last Bible class we had on Wednesday night. I screwed up. Let me restate this. Because I was dealing with nothing can separate us from God, including death. And I said the last enemy is death, which is correct. But I didn't tell you correctly how it becomes the last enemy. I switched things around. People coming out of the millennium in their natural bodies. Of course, you got to know that part of it. People coming out of the millennium are in their natural bodies. They are not in resurrection bodies. The first resurrection is only for believers. It includes, I'll probably leave somebody out, Christ, church age believers, tribulational casualties, and Old Testament saints. That's the first resurrection. So it's bracketed with categories. And in the book of Revelation, it says, this is the first resurrection. And we got the whole millennium out in front of us. People in the millennium, believers, will apparently, longevity will be increased. I got that. Because there's a verse in Isaiah that says, if someone doesn't make it to 100, they'll be considered to be accursed. what is the age? What's that upper bracket? I don't think we're going to pre-flood longevity, but it'll be increased. But in any case, someone that enters the millennium because they survived the tribulation and they're a believer, they go into the millennium with a natural body. And they'll live out their life and they'll die. What happens to them? Well, what happens when someone dies here? Their soul goes to heaven. So they'll be in heaven. Now, the evidence, to me, is overwhelming that the people who enter from the saints, believers, who are brought over from Earth 1 and set onto Earth 2 are not in resurrection bodies. It says that leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. This is why I switched up and said the wrong thing. There are two items with regard to the tree. See, in the garden you have trees. But the two that stand out are the tree of life in the center of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a double whammy on those who ate it, Adam and Eve. When they got that fruit in them, it changed things for the worse. Aging gene and a sin nature gene. Modern science is working around the world to try to figure out why we age and what we can do to reverse it. This reverses aging. I know it's a lot of hype. It's some herb, some whatever it is. But anyway, off subject. When they're brought over to the new earth, the first thing that has to be eradicated is the sin nature. Or they can't even enter the new Jerusalem with a sin nature. So they get rid of that. The leaves of the tree suggest to me some kind of a tea. There's lots of kind of variety of teas out there. But that doesn't get rid of the death gene or the aging gene. That comes from eating the fruit. Along the river of the boulevard, it goes into the New Jerusalem. So they'll have to take two steps to get back to where Adam and Eve was before they fell. Two steps. And I reversed that. So the last enemy is death. the principle of death as a result of the aging process. Okay? I corrected that. I messed that up on Wednesday night. Must have been on a fellowship. It was a difficult class. Sometimes I have a difficult class. It's just psychological, just human beings. I should have stayed home. No, okay. All right, so anyway, that's that. Reviewing a doctrine that I noticed in my notes that the last time I taught this was the year 2000. So we'll see if it holds up, okay? Doctrine of eternal security. I put a lead-in verse. With some brackets to explain stuff to you. 1 Peter 1:5. Who, referring to believers, are protected by the power of God through saving faith. That's the door we went through. Saving faith. We are protected for a deliverance, the rapture, ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, the end of the rapture generation. The logical approach to this doctrine is as follows. One, if salvation is by grace, and you know what that word means, through faith, then works are ruled out, either as a means of salvation or as a means for its security. As noted, you don't have to do any maintenance on your salvation. It's maintenance free. All right? Your worst day, your best day, buried deep in reversionism, whatever. Your salvation does not require maintenance. You know, this is one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. It's right in front of you. For by grace you've been saved. Through faith. You've been saved through faith. That's the avenue through which you did it. Faith is non-meritorious thinking. Non-meritorious thinking. You gave God faith in Jesus Christ. He gives you eternal salvation. What a deal. Nothing like it. And that, not of yourselves. You made no contribution. See, faith, remember, faith is non-meritorious thinking. You just believed. That's it. And that not of yourselves. It, salvation, is a gift of God, not faith. Faith isn't a gift of God. Everybody in the world uses faith. Oh, I believe that. They hear something. I believe that. Without checking it out, if they can check it out, they just say, I believe it. Okay. Exercised faith, didn't you? People say, I don't do faith. Yes, you do. You exercised a lot of it when you went to school and learned certain subjects. I believe it. That's it. You adopted it. Well, I was taught that in school. That always gives me pause. Depends on what it is. Some particular interpretation of historical events. Oh, you don't know how doctored some of this stuff is. You do not know how doctored up some of this stuff is. Spread everywhere by PhDs and books and everything. You say, you'd think they just want to get to the bottom of it. No, most of them just follow each other around in a circle. They don't buck the tide if there's hard evidence, documents that prove otherwise. Sometimes they just turn history on its head. That's not the way that happened back then. That's the way it's projected to the subsequent generations, but that isn't what happened. And it colors everybody's thinking. Gosh. All right. And not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. A person achieves something, they can boast. They can do it in a, you know, a civilized way, not obnoxious. You know, I remember back today how Muhammad Ali in a boxing, how I get everybody all stirred up. I'm the greatest. I remember that. It was a part of the show. You know. And he was good. There's no question about it. But salvation is not through boasting. You can't boast. Look what I did. You can boast about, look what I found. Look what I purchased. Look what I got for this. Yeah, people boast about that all they want. We shouldn't boast. Our boasting ought to be directed towards, yeah, if something not good happens to you, you give God the credit. You don't take credit. You give God the credit. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let a man not boast in his wealth. Boast in all these things. But let him boast in the Lord, and that he knows the Lord. He knows his plan. I can boast in that. But that was by grace that God has revealed these things so I can tell you what I've been telling you about the variety of subjects. So you see, it's not of works. If the new birth constitutes us as sons, then our failings cannot change our parents, who our parents are. To you, parents, I put, because you understand. So, it's a logic. If we're born into a family, mother and a father, that's our parents. Nothing ever can change that. You could get adopted out, all the rest of it, that's still your original parents. Things don't change that. So to me, that's a logical approach. If salvation is likened to a birth, and it is, regeneration, new birth, born from above, we are born into a family. We're incorporated into a family, the family of God, his children through the ages. This ought to be basic doctrine. And how confused some people are about this basic subject. And if you're off balance on this one, you're not going anywhere. You got to be rock solid on this. Salvation is a person has to do, and it's not by this, and it's secure. That's what we're striving for here. On my best day and my worst day, I'm still saved. Period. I could even renounce Christianity. There have been dummies do that. I've had them. I know one at least from that left this church that did. Renounced the whole Bible. Oh, great. But he's still a believer. He's just a very messed up one. Or so it was reported to me by someone who would know this. Okay, John 1:12. But as many as received him. What does it mean, received him? You receive someone, let's say you receive someone into your home. You receive them. To them he gave the right to become, or the authority to become, children of God. And then he explains, in John's prologue, he explains what receiving Christ consists of. Even to those who believe in his name. Who were born? It's a birth. We're all familiar with physical birth. Now how about a spiritual birth? Who were born not of blood. No bloodline involved here. I see books. Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Bloodlines. It means a lot to some people. Well, people are into genealogy and they want to send a fee off and oh, where did I come from and all the rest of it. To me, it's boring. You might come from a family of criminals. Who knows? Awful people. who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Oh, I just think it's this way. Self-will, it's just some pronouncement. You're not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, some system, but of God. You don't go through a system, do all these steps, and now you're a child of God. No. Like as a current in the Catholic system. You don't even know in that system if you're saved or not. You don't know what's going to happen when you die. It's all up for grabs. And yet you ran through all the hoops, do all the stuff, all the sacraments, regular confessional, show up for all this, and you still don't know. And there's still people left behind when you die lighting candles for you. There is so much in the Bible that supports that, right? None. Nothing. It's an elaborate, wealthy system, and it's all made up. It's very intimidating to those who live in highly dominated Catholic countries, like Italy, South America. It's not through a system. There is no ritual that saves you. No ritual. Water baptism. Communion. It doesn't save you. It is a token of salvation. It is a picture that you are silently saying by your actions that back whenever you believed in Christ. I always take an argument from Scripture. Does God make exceptions? Yeah, they were all saved this way, but this person's an exception. That makes no sense. The thief on the cross, who believed in Christ while he was on a cross, and Jesus is on his cross. The guy on his right believes. Go figure. You wouldn't think that's a good witnessing environment, would you? Jesus appears to be and is the victim of the Romans and the Jews. And he snaps on the cross. And I love the story because all three of the men are Jews. But the other two on the right and the left, they're criminals. They did something to offend the Roman authority that they would crucify them. They weren't petty pickpockets. They were, I think, they were probably more violent in their robberies and stuff. So the Romans crucify them. They're equal in that they're both Jews, they're both criminals, and they both deserved what they got, according to the one guy later when he made an application after he got saved. So what did those men do to be saved? Nothing. But one of them wasn't. The one was. The one on his right. They're, to add insult to injury, they're up there and they're ragging on Jesus. You know, the idea was, you did all these miracles, you people. You saw all these miracles, everything you did. And why don't you just come down off that cross, take yourself off there and end it all that way. He could have. Nothing. That wasn't the path of his plan. Okay, so the one guy's bad-mouthed him, and finally, the one on the right tells him to shut the hell up. I'm at it. Shut up. This man has done no wrong. They knew about Jesus before they ever got arrested and tried and put on a cross. They knew about Jesus. How could you live in Israel and not known about the public ministry of Jesus Christ? You'd have to be practically in a coma. I mean, people, this was the talk all the time. I went to you ought to saw this guy sees now. He's got 20/20 vision. Yeah. The Romans all knew it, locally. The news even spread out of Israel because a delegation came from Greece to interview Jesus. It's in the Bible. So these two guys knew it. And of course, the request of that was, when you come into your kingdom, where do you get that doctrine? He's a Jew. Messianic kingdom. That's where he had that doctrine. The fact he was a criminal doesn't change good to know that doctrine. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. That's what the thief on the right says. Jesus' reply, today you will be with me in paradise. The holding place of Old Testament saints until Christ, following Christ's resurrection. So today you'll be with me in paradise. So between the time Jesus died and was resurrected, he was with that guy and all the rest of them in paradise. And that guy didn't stay in paradise very long. Jesus led captivity captive and took him to the third heaven. Not a bad day. I mean, yeah, you're crucified. But not a bad week, let's put it that way, or whatever. This is the things they don't piece together. It's all floating out here in little snippets of stuff. They don't put this together by the people that were supposed to be doing it, in these local churches. So you don't get the thrill of the story. You just can't. There's no texture there. I sit around and think about this stuff a lot that I've already taught. I do. It's called meditation, not the Asian kind. Meditating on God's word. But you got to put your stupid phone down. You got to get in fellowship. And you got to get away from all of it. And think, and pray. There is the a fortiori argument. Since God did the most for us when we were his enemies, and he did the most for us. How will you do the less? Keep us saved and bless us above and beyond the normal blessings associated with salvation. How will he not? He did the greater thing for us by offering up his son. We just read those verses. We read one here. Paul likes to use that type of argumentation. Arguing from the greater to the lesser. You can look that up. You can look up a fortiori in your, if you have one. Oh, you can probably do it on your phone. Latin dictionary. Dictionary of Latin phrases. Romans 5:9. Much more, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now imagine reading that verse. You think wrath immediately, because everyone will immediately, and I understand, they'll think that it refers to hell. It does not, in this case, refer to hell. It refers to the 7-year tribulation. It's used that way in Thessalonians. Because it's a period of historical wrath unprecedented upon humanity during those 7 years. Oh, I can't even wrap my head around it. People's lives. Nobody's going to escape. Going to be drugged through this thing, screaming and kicking. There ain't anything you do about it. It's the day of his wrath. Well, they can get saved. One. And two. What's the directive will of God for my life? So I can maximize this miserable time I'm in. What can I do? Can I enhance my phase 3 status by obeying God here? Yes, we always can. So for those who got saved after the rapture, get the blank out of the United States. As inconvenient as that's going to be. How would you like to be having to do that tomorrow? Making plans to land in some other country. Well, I'll just run across the border to Canada. It's too close for me. Mexico, it's too close. Cuba, forget it. It's an island. I don't know. Stay away from mountains. Don't get on an island. Well, that doesn't apply to any of you because you're not going to have to worry about that. But imagine having to do that. Well, you go into the heart of the Antichrist kingdom. Well, I guess I'll go to France. They start putting out the mark of the beast technology and telling you to take it or we'll kill you. You don't have a choice. We're not play games with it. No, you don't have to wear a mask. You have to take this mark. So they can run you around like you were a machine. No, not going to do it. All right. You're assigned to death. That's not bad. I know. Because life will not be normal for people. Yes, there'll be people trying to be normal. As long as they can be normal. Keep a family together. Maybe at some job where I can eke out a living. That's the trib. All right. 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Okay? But you have to have the first to have the other. 17. For if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, the reign of death, that's spiritual death, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. All right. Well, those are some quick examples. I'll let you go. Like I said, we notify our congregation if, you know, we have some big ICE event that they say is going to happen. We'll see. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, encourage and enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.